time I land, they're gonna be like, so this is the reason crime's up in the UK. Just need a couple guys like that, then they'll put the story together.
Start it where he said, crime's gonna go up, because they're rolling, aren't they, already? Yeah. Kickstart it where he said crime's going to go up. So, we've got Mr. Capone today in the Midlands. Can you believe this? An essay in the Midlands. I'm having flashbacks to Arizona State Penitentiary right now. La Raza, Pinchihura, La Pinta, all this stuff, all this language. It's like, it's all coming. It's all coming.
That's the language for sure. That's the lingo.
I've watched all your interviews.
Yeah.
Love what you're doing, watch your videos. So you have come up in the non-traditional route, just using modern technology, the socials, and pure people power has put you where you are today. And you've got hundreds of millions of views on YouTube right now, millions of followers on your socials. All those links are going to be in the description box below the video. So you're here in the UK, raising your presence. First question is, how are the English women treating you?
Oh, man, they love that American California accent. You know what I'm saying? So once I hit them with that, it's English muffin. It's all good, you know? You know, I ain't going to say too much. It's all good, though, you know?
How are you finding the food here, like the fish and chips?
I've been trying different kind of foods. I know it gets kind of, like, boring with the fish and chip, but then I've been having other stuff. Spicy chicken fish. I had some, you know, so, yeah, I've been mixing it up. There's a lot of different food that I've been having, so it's been pretty good so far.
I'm missing the burritos and all that stuff.
Yeah, you got no burritos out here, no tacos.
They're popping up slowly, but not like in America, everywhere.
Yeah, man, every corner... We got, you know, every shops in every corner.
Yeah. So people watching this are probably wondering, what the hell is he doing in the Midlands? Yeah.
Well, I mean, it all started as a little kid back in the days. I used to get in trouble. So obviously my history was being in trouble as a youngster in California. If anybody knows lifestyle in L.A., California, you know, it's pretty rough. Known as gangbang capital, L.A., went through a lot of crazy stuff in those times. And sometimes when I used to get in trouble, I'd be like out to Florida or out to the East Coast, and sometimes out to the UK. So it all started way back. I used to come to UK here and there, you know, like getting in trouble. This was a place to like cool off, you know, I guess. The bad kid cooling off. Start walking to the schools, starting trouble in the schools out here. They're like, who's this crazy looking guy, you know? But that was a little history. And then from there, when I became into the music, I still do the same thing, but now in the music wise, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I said earlier, the only essay with a safe house in the Midlands from the West Coast. Now, people over and over again have gone, I've listened to the jail stories and about the racial divisions in the Arizona state. And the four major divisions are the whites, Aryan Brotherhood, blacks, Mau Mau, Chicanos, Mexican-Americans born in America, and then the Mexicans, Mexican nationals. So you look like a Chicano, but what actually is your racial background?
Well, I'm from Hazara, which is a Northwest NWFP, KPK, Pakistan, Afghanistan area. Basically, it's a minority of people in that, but it's mixed with a lot. If you know the history, there's a lot of wars that went through there, Alexander the Great, to blah, blah, blah. So has a mixture of the Mongols, all that.
But a Genghis Khan.
Yeah, Genghis Khan. So sometimes I say my bloodline, like I do my lyrics too, Genghis Khan. You know, that's why I like to go to different cities and conquer. That's why I'm in the UK here to conquer, you know? So, but nah, yeah, that's my thing, identity. And then I moved into Los Angeles, which is predominantly Hispanic Americans.
How old were you when you moved?
I mean, just a little boy. I mean, I can't remember, like, so 1 or 2 years old, you know what I'm saying? So grew up over there. Obviously, in our school, I would say 90% was Hispanic.
Yeah.
Maybe 7% was Asian. I didn't even see a white kid around, you know what I'm saying? I only see, when I grew up, I only see white and black on TV.
Yeah.
So I remember growing up in my neighborhood, it was like, these are movie people. That's how I perceived white people and black people at that time in my neighborhood growing up, because you didn't see that. You would see predominantly Hispanics, and then there would be a crowd that wouldn't speak English, and then the crowd that did speak English, and there were more of the Chicanos. So obviously I speak English, and I grew up with the Chicanos.
So if your family then moving into a Hispanic neighborhood right away, were they accepted right away, or was there any racial tension?
No, I was accepted. Like, I had a little, I had people come to my house. We'd go to their house. Basically, as a kid, they wouldn't even know if I was something else, you know? Like, I would tell them, and they're like, oh, part of Mexico is that. You know what I'm saying? So we were just kids and naive, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I don't think there was any racial, and racial stuff really don't go until when you're kids. There wasn't none of that as kids. We grew up, and, you know, gangs get involved and things get involved, and that's what brings the racial. I think at the beginning, no one's really racist, you know?
What school did you go, and how did you find school?
School was cool. I was in La Puente and Valinda Elementary Schools, Grandview. School, I was just, it was all right. I can't really recall too much as a little kid, just a normal kid. Went to school, just did my thing, messed with girls, same thing, you know, same thing. Just as you get a little older in the teenage years, when you get to 12, 13 years old, things start getting deeper and, you know, life hits you, because, you know, when you're with the older kids, there's a lot of things going on in L.A. County, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so with the gangs then, they, like, test people and have you put work in the beginning. What kind of stuff did they have you doing?
Now, for me, it was more of like, it was a friendship. Like, I would go to a party, right? So I went to a party. There's a lot of party crews back then, taggers, gangsters, all that. So we started off like, I just go and supported my boy who had a party. He would, like you say, maybe they were selling some stuff at the party, $2 entrance fee, you know, a nice party, right? So I'm going with my friends that like come to my party. So I'm going to my friend's party. Then the gangsters show up to the party later on that night. Obviously stab a couple people maybe, or beat up a couple people, steal the money, you know what I'm saying? Which was probably like a couple $100 maybe, right? It wasn't, but at that time, that was everything. So me, as a kid, I would see my guys who were throwing parties happen to them, and I was the type of guy, like, I'm there to protect them, and I seen them, whatever, knock out a couple of my guys. And that kind of bring rage as a kid, because the gangs were running the shit, right? So when you are in that kind of predicament and environment, you eventually, I guess, turn into something like just like them.
Yeah.
So that's what it kind of basically started off, like cool little party things to friends getting beat up, friends getting stabbed, and the next thing you know, you're looking out for revenge. Like, I'm gonna go find these guys, and then you get into the twist of gang life, politics, because now you're going after someone who's in a gang, and you got to deal with multiple guys, and next thing you know, you become find new friends who attack those friends, and now life starts growing, you know?
So you're saying that you were looking out for your mates at parties, yeah, basically, and that led to you getting into the lifestyle.
Basically, yeah, just looking out, backing up my boys that I felt like, you know, like they got done wrong, and then eventually got into my business, because maybe I had a lot of pride as a kid, and then me standing up makes you end up getting involved in that lifestyle.
Well, you're a protective person.
Exactly. So it's either you bow down and be submissive, where some of my friends end up being submissive, like, no, we just don't want to. But I was like, now, you know, takes you to the wrong turn, you know?
Now, information you take for granted is like expert knowledge to people in England. I'm talking about the gang structure.
Yeah.
So I mentioned earlier about the four gangs in the prison, yeah, but the street gang thing is completely different. How are the gangs on the streets structured from your neighborhood and the surrounding neighborhoods?
Well, at the end of the day, it does boil down back to the prison systems, you know?
Does it?
Because it's this prison system, it's the older heads, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
people who are more older than the younger heads. And at the beginning in the 90s, it was a little bit less structure. When we grew up, it was more chaos, more craziness, till people bring structure to the thing. but it also brings a lot of divides. It brings a lot of rules, which were somewhat good. You know, sometimes it can be bad, sometimes it can be good, but it brings a lot of structure in the thing, organized a little bit more to the point where everybody was just going against everybody, and it was just a free-for-all, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. Growing up as a kid, I seen a lot of these kids that I grew up with or end up doing life in prison, and now, you know, there's somebody inside prison now. I haven't talked to him for years, but that's how I went. Innocent little boy, but now he's, you know, that's his lifestyle, you know?
I saw one of your videos where you're giving the shout-out to three of your homies who are inside. Maybe later on we could talk about a bit more about them. So it's like north, south, is it, where you were?
Yeah. Well, I'm from Southern California.
Yeah.
So in California, obviously, when you go inside, there's two. There's north and the south.
Yeah.
And there's also, like, the Fresno area. You know, there's politics and all that, too. And then Southern California, states to Southern California. Times now, from what I'm hearing, is changing a little, mm-hmm. but still waters run deep. So obviously it's not 100% peaceful situations, but everybody sticks to their own. Just like you got the Paisas, the Border Brothers, people from Mexico. Then you got the Southern Californias, you know, and then there's the Northern Californias. And, you know, we grew up in Southern California, so it don't matter who you are. Even if you're not affiliated, you roll in with Southern California if you grew up in Southern California. So there's no, you walk in jail and there's no, like, I run my own program and this and that. You're part of a program, you know what I'm saying? So that's just part of the lifestyle, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Arizona, it's all racial. So whatever the street gangs are, if they're rivals, the shot callers, like, you got to squash that beef. Yeah, you just represent with us.
Inside all that beef is taken out the door. Anyone trying to have their own beef, personal beef, they got to sneak in the kitchen and handle it real quick without anyone else catching on to it. Because at the end of the day, it's structured in there now. And all that street politics gets turned away inside because numbers is everything, you know what I'm saying?
For a long time in Arizona, the Chicanos and the Mexicans were at war. It was like kill on sight. Was it like that between North and South for a while?
Yeah, I mean, that's always been the case. I mean, obviously, I'm fortunate not to be super. I've been into a lot of county jails. I've been in and out all my teenage years, just back and forth. I know the game. I know little homies that I raised that are doing life in there, then coming out and tell me stories. So definitely that, it just goes on and on, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's stories of, I hear homies tell me stories about sometimes people go on like suicide missions. They go to another like dorm of people just to try to, you know, and then they know they're gonna get smashed out, but it's a point game, you know, I got two or three. So I hear stories from my little homies that tell me things that go on inside, so obviously, It's a real, you know, war zone in there sometimes, you know?
Kamikaze missions.
It could be organized, but then when things go on, anything can go on, you know?
What was the first time you ever got arrested?
Oh, man, lots of times when I was a kid. So this is talking in the 90s. I mean, I've been arrested for, everything that I've been arrested for as a kid was violent. So whether it was assault with deadly weapon, eventually attempted murder, dropped to assault, assault, great bodily injury, most violent, you know, I was on the streets, just part of the game, you know?
So my co-defendant, Wildman, who was my best friend from childhood, he just died, and his funeral was just before Christmas. We left him out in LA one time, and he ended up in the county jail, and he was giving me some county jail stories. It was fucking nuts in there. What have you got any stories from county jail?
Man, first of all, county jail is a dirty place. Not even with the street shit, but it's just the dirt of it. I mean, we used to have this thing called Freeway Freddy, like mice. I remember I'd wake up from my cell, and there was a mice in my shoes. And I'm like, I'm going to have to put my shoes on. And who knows how many, where this mice came from. You get what I'm saying? Yep. There's a lot of diseases in there where people had ringworm on the back of their head. I mean, we were pretty organized from Southern California because everybody looked out for each other. Like, I walked in, here's some shower shoes. Don't take a shower, without wearing your shower shoes. Don't do this. Don't, you know what I'm saying? Because you walk in without your shower shoes, which a lot of people did, you're going to have athlete's foot tomorrow. You know, it's that dirty. You know what I'm saying? So we're living in a dirty paradox of a jail where nobody gives a shit. You sleep in a cell, the walls are all hit up. You got rats running through your thing. I mean,
green bologna sandwiches.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not. I don't know how the jails are out here, but I know off there is crap. And I've been to LA County. I've been to San Bernardino County. I've been to Riverside County. But to far worse, LA County is just another level of trash, you know, with just like it's no good. But when in those days, I didn't look at it as that bad because we were living a life that was just crazy. But now by me thinking about it, like, damn, I had a fucking Freeway Freddy sleeping in my shoe. What would I do now if I seen Freeway, you know? How would I take that now, you know? you can't complain. I mean, obviously you complain. That's another problem, you know, there's just...
You've got nothing coming.
Yeah, nothing's coming, you know, so...
So for someone with you then, with so much experience who knows the program, what would you tell a young person who was going into prison for the first time, survival techniques, how to behave?
Yeah, it's a lot of discipline. So from the 90s, when we grew up, we were taught to be wild, ruthless, not giving a fuck attitude, right? Now, you have that kind of attitude and going to prison, it's not like that no more. You got someone to, you got to listen. You got to take orders. You got to make sure you do your bed. You got to be organized. You got to be everything. You got to be, if you're this crazy, crazy, crazy fool, that ain't working no more. The crazy fools are getting drugged in the dirt. You got to listen to the thing. So to the young generation who's out here living freely, living wildly, when you go in there, I mean, that's out the door, you know what I'm saying? No matter big, bad you are, crazy you are, it don't really matter no more because there's 150 more crazier motherfuckers than you in there. And they're going to make sure, if you're crazy, they're going to make sure they show you to the world that you're not crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
People who go in and think they're a badass are going to get humbled very quickly.
Yeah. That's the case for everybody, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're going to take stickings to the chest, to the neck, swiped, flowing on the floor like nothing, you know? Then they're going to, if they still come with that, it happens again. After two or three times, you get, you know, really put down. You're going to be humble for sure, you know?
Yeah.
Just human nature.
So the young people I saw coming in, they want to put the work in, get the tattoos, get patched up. So I know what that happens for people in the white race. Are you able to describe what happens for people in the Chicanos and the SAs?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't really want to talk about it too much because we keep it, you know what I'm saying, our, you know, slice style. Obviously, I'm in music now, so I'm not currently involved in that, but obviously, I know about it because I grew up in it. But same thing, you get in there, it's the same thing with everything, you know, like there's these youngsters that want to earn stripes, and they're going to go do what they got to do to earn stripes because they might be looking at 50 years of life in there. So if I'm looking at 50 years to life inside, I might be like, you know what, I'm trying to do stuff. So there's a lot of people that want to come in and earn stripes. I would say a lot of people. So at the end of the day, that's what just it happens. And they have ties back to the streets, and the streets, they're inside, and, you know, becomes a business, I guess, right?
So Bloods and Crips has moved over to this country now. Yeah. I just interviewed a Crip out of Manchester who was in Supermax prison here. For what happened with him.
We're going to bring the essays out here. Any of you guys out there?
Kieran Proverbs. Shout out to Kieran Proverbs. He's doing good now. He's all positive things. He would love to meet you, man. But how, you know, we've, a lot of us have watched movies like Colors. Yeah. How does Bloods and Crips fit into the California prison system?
I mean, yeah, Bloods and Crips is another factions of gangs in Los Angeles. Every city had a Blood and Crip. I mean, even our city had some Crips, and obviously there's Bloods in different areas. Where I'm from, relevantly, it wasn't that big. You know, SAs were major controlling most of the areas, but predominantly in Los Angeles, there's a lot of Bloods and Crips. And it goes in histories, and obviously when they roll inside, they got their car, and the Bloods and Crips are actually united in there in a way. So, yeah, I mean, they're part of Los Angeles society, definitely. Without Bloods and Crips, Essays, those are the three major factions in Los Angeles. But at the end of the day, it's just we have Samoans now. There's Asian gangs. I mean, this is just a culture of Los Angeles, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And even with the whites at some of the beach areas, there were skinheads, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It's just the culture of Los Angeles in general. You know, it was just a pot everybody wanted to represent. They had to represent their side.
I used to have some connections in California. We used to be able to do the West Hollywood Playboy Crips. So you're getting arrested a few times then, in and out of county jails. Now, you mentioned you had an attempted murder beef. Are you able to say what happened there?
I mean, yeah, it's old stuff. Anything, you know, when you use a weapon of heavy force, it comes out to be attempted murder. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have no gun charge of that. But everything what I've learned through the system, because I've been through a lot of times and I fought a lot of cases, won a lot of cases, a lot of shit get dropped. When they first put you in, they throw like 6-8 charges on you. You got attempted murder, you got like threatening witness, you got like, they just throwing everything at you. You're looking at 14 years, you know what I'm saying? Eventually, at the end of the day, that attempted murder could go down to assault with deadly weapon. It could be a little intimidating then you do a year or something, county led, you know what I'm saying? Get a joint suspension. So I ran into those kind of issues, but yeah, I mean, attempted murder. I never took a plea to it, so I don't have it on my jacket, but when you get in there, they're gonna throw that at you. They're gonna throw as much as things that they can throw at you, you know what I'm saying? So, and some people, unfortunately, there's a lot of good homies in there that they take the first deal they take. I'm like, bro, you know, like, come on, you know? But it's just, well, I got this going on, and they never been busted in before in their life. It could be a regular street fight. The guy could crack him with a bat, or that guy could pull something out, and he hits him with a bat. Guy knocks down, goes whatever, boom. He tells on him, this guy's doing 10, 15 years, you know? And now he comes out programmed a different kind of guy. A lot of sad stories inside, you know what I'm saying? But
would you say that prosecutors are like used car salespeople? They start out up here,
yeah.
Throw that mud at you, see how much will stick, try and scare the shit out of you so you'll sign for something. Yeah. But the trick is to like hold out, isn't it? Make your case go stale.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, because they'll make it bigger than what it really is, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they'll throw you in court. They'll throw you in front of the jury if you're going to jury, whatever. They're going to make you look like the worst man of the world.
Yeah.
And then that scares some people to see that. And they're like, man, if you lose this thing, you're going to get even more time. So someone might want to jump on a deal for 10 years to take 20.
Yep.
But obviously, if you know the cases, you really think through, if it's not really what it really is, you should have a fighting chance. But the system is corrupt too. At the end of the day, they can paint a picture of you bad. And being in Los Angeles in the 90s, like Cholos, Essays were just not looked upon as like nice people, right? So if you're going in a jury, you're looking at getting convicted, no matter how good you are. Like you could have done nothing wrong. They just look at, they don't understand that lifestyle. They don't get where you're coming from. So they're gonna hang you dry. So a lot of people just end up taking deals and going for it, you know what I'm saying? So it's a sad situation, but it was a lot of, you know, I could say a lot of racism too, because they look at a homie or Essay and they're like, this guy's he's a psycho, he's a killer, he's a murderer. They'll paint you that picture bigger than it is, and you're doing the time now, you know?
Well, that brings me to my next question then, just taking aside from your life story then. What do you think about the war on drugs?
War on drugs, man, you know, it's crazy because I seen a little bit of your story and I seen how it's going. I mean, there's a lot of things to say, like who bring the drugs into, you know what I'm saying? Who really bring the drugs in?
CIA.
Exactly, you know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of sneaky shit going on. And then it's always stuck in the hood. And, you know, people in the rich area, they do the drugs too, but they never get in trouble. It's the guys who are living in the hood or getting in trouble, then it's flooded in the hood. I mean, it's crazy, you know? I mean, I remember back in the days, people, rich areas would come and buy the most drugs. but they'd go live the happy life, right? The people in the hood, they're the ones getting popped. They're the ones that are getting boom, 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 you know? And some of these guys up there, they had drugs for sale too, but you know, it was like, it was just focused on getting anybody from the hood. So, man, that was it. I wasn't a drug person. I will tell you true, I wasn't like a drug seller. I was more of a street dude. But obviously, around my circle, people were selling drugs, and that was very relevant. And some people were just on the corner slanging rocks, you know, like just looking for the clucker and boom, boom, getting the shit. Homies were putting homies out. Just, it was something in the streets in the 90s. It was very common. And then you get fat wads of cash. People were just, you know, boom, but it's just, you know, it's a dirty game, man. Drugs is a business, really.
Who's the biggest gangster, Suge Knight or George H.W. Bush?
Bush.
Shout out to the Bush and Clinton crime families. Yeah. You are up there.
Criminals, man. They got a lot of blood on their hand. They got a lot of drugs on their hand. I mean, yeah.
I wrote a book exposing this, and I interviewed Freeway Ricky Ross.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
What do you think about him?
I read his story a little bit, and yeah, I mean, yeah, he's a good dude. I mean, from now I've seen, he has a crazy story. Got nothing to say, yeah, just, you know, he lived that life, you know, he got put in a position, and they took it from him, so, you know, who knows? He knows the whole, he knows what's really going on, you know?
What do you think about his beef with Rick Ross, who took his name?
I mean, he obviously is the real Rick Ross, but I'm not going to shit on the other Rick Ross because it is what it is, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean,
all right,
I guess you can go for it. You know, if you're Rick Ross, go for the other Rick Ross. Throw, you know what I mean? It's a throw after throw, you know?
I can't believe how much coke he brought in and then found out he was getting it from the fucking... He was financing the war in Nicaragua for the Bush and Oliver North.
That's what I'm saying. All this crazy, corrupted shit. Even today, I mean, I don't know, there's a lot of crazy, corrupting shit going on, but, I mean, yeah, war on drugs. You've seen that shit crack hit L.A. like crazy in the 80s. You
know, and the weapons.
Yeah, weapons, guns were like, I remember personally, fools were, I didn't pay attention where they're coming from, but now as you get older, like, how did they get there in the hood that easy? You
know? Military aircraft flown by Barry Seal, who also have written a book.
Fools had Tommy guns in those days. People had grenades. Little homies were like 15-year-old kids, like, I can get some grenades. I'm hearing these stories as a kid. So now I looked at it as like normal, but was it really normal? Like to have abundance of any kind of weaponry like that, you know?
So the government had an agenda to fill the private prisons. They were getting like $60,000 a year of taxpayers' money. They went after the lowest hanging fruit. There was massive racism involved. People from the poorest neighborhoods, because they couldn't fight back and get lawyers and shit. I saw one cop say, I just go to a black neighborhood to make my arrest quotas. It's like shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah, yeah, no, it was, because I'll tell you the truth. I would, like when I used to have a little car, I would drive literally in 1 hour's time. I would get pulled over 5 to 6 times, yeah. Different area, I pulled off the street, take off a shirt, lay on the floor, ripping through the car, fucking bending your hands, crushing your feet. Like, I got arrested also. Now, remember, I got arrested 3 times for resisting arrest and once assault on police officer. And the assault on police officer wasn't something that I assaulted the police officer. These guys were putting the knees on your face, doing this. So out of being human, you're like, get the fuck off. Like, you know? Next you know, cop is bleeding or something happened, they're pissed off, they're going in for assault on police officer. So this is the kind of shit that we had to go through as kids, you know what I'm saying, teenagers. Like, we were dealing with the cops who were just, they'll find you, like you're walking, something hits you in the back, you already know it. A cop just hit me, you know, and then they turn around, get the fuck off, guns to the head. I had guns pointed to the head, pushed in my face. I had homies that got killed by cops, friends that got shot with cops and they had no gun on them. No one tells their story, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, we see stuff going on in the news now, but for the essays, I think there's been never no stories. Like, it just gets swooped up under the rug. Nobody says nothing. It's just another, oh, yo, he looked like he was, I mean, how was he looking like? You know what I'm saying? Like,
Don't the cops carry like throwaway guns around to just put on people as well in those neighborhoods? Yeah,
yeah. They definitely did dirty shit like that. Obviously, I can't say it happened to me because it didn't, but I know they were dirty to the point where they're like telling me we're gonna do dirty shit to you. We're like, hey, motherfucker, boo, like talking to me like, yo, you know, we can get you right now for that. We can do, you know, so they were basically playing their game of we're gonna do what we wanna do. I had to play my game of like, I don't know what you're talking about, but I could see many people falling for it, like just falling to their trap. And there's history now that shows many people in like the Rampart District, all the guys who got taken in and the cops played them, you know what I'm saying? And this is happening everywhere in LA. All the cops were, there were a lot of dirty cops, straight up dirty cops. I mean, if they're gonna swing at you when you're teenagers and they're putting knees on you and they're trying to choke you out, like, you know, you're really feeling like they're really being super aggressive. You already know what they're trying to do, you know what I'm saying? They ain't trying to play fair.
So they militarized the police.
Yeah.
And they go in with these like tanks and everything now. Were you ever in any SWAT team raids, like military style stuff?
Yeah, I got raided a couple of times as a kid. I mean, teenager. They come in, but the military ram the door, woo-woo, searching for shit, whatever, you know? Get on with the business and find shit, you know?
Does it just become a way of life after so long?
Yeah, I think in those days it was a way of life because I remember I had court dates every day, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, oh, I got to go to this city court. I had to go to that city court. And these are different towns and different cases. So my court was like basically my job, like going to court, try to make sure I go to court because I was a little bit smarter. I'd finished my court cases, but people don't keep up with their court cases. You got so many court cases, boom, then you got a warrant, you're in. So I would take my stuff, go to show up to the courts. But yeah, that shit became a way of life. Like pulling out of the courthouse was like the time you would think you would never get harassed by the cops. And even you go just a mile down after the court, boop, cop pulls you over. This was back in the days, I would say. I don't know now. Honestly, I don't get harassed like that. I don't know if it's times changed. I don't know what happened. But from what I remember as a youngster, like the cops were your enemies. Like they're really here to get you. And there was a situation where cops were shooting and people are shooting at cops because it's like a war even with the cops and the people on the streets. Because they don't trust you and they don't trust each other. So everyone's getting a piece of action now, you know?
So it was like a war zone back then. Have the police since then tried to bridge that gap and make relations open up with those communities? Or is it still RoboCop, us versus them?
Well, I see on the TV all of a sudden, like, you know, you see the cops are still doing the same shit. I personally don't have that bad of a thing with the cops no more. Maybe because I'm driving a nicer car. Maybe, I don't know what it is. I mean, but I do get harassed. I was once strolling. See, there's rules that I know. I can't be a regular human being. Like, you know, you can see, like, just say someone like you, a regular guy, he could walk to the store. He could go buy shopping. He could go to the next store. Just walk random. By me walking A to B, my first instinct is cop. If a cop sees me, he's going to fuck with me. Two, it could be an enemy. It could be something from the past. So I'm watching, like I'm walking, not like I gotta pay attention from A to B. You know what I'm saying? So that's still embedded in me today. So like once, not too long ago, I went from bank to a little spot where our studio was at. It's the right thing. I seen the cop a mile away. He seen me from a distance. I go, this guy's gonna fuck with me right now. So I walk back into the bank, wait until he leaves, right? And he wouldn't leave. So like, I know he's waiting for me, you know? Like he wants me. So as soon as he takes off a little distance, I said, it's time for me to go. So I'm walking. Here he comes. I see him come busting a U-turn from way over there. Like there's 100 people walking, but I know he's coming for me. So I get to the door where I need to get. And he's like, pulls out, like, get on the ground. I'm like, I'm going to my place right here. Whatever. He harassed me. I kind of like try to make a little thing where the security's like, oh shit, this guy, he stays here. Like they're telling the cops that We got a suspect that looked like you. They start making up shit, harass me, whatever. Eventually, oh, we're sorry, you know, my bad. But I'm like, motherfucker, you just wanted to fuck with me. I already knew you were plotting. So that's the kind of life we live in. Like, they're really watching you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, when I was driving around Arizona, there was cops everywhere. I'm always looking in my mirror. You know, obviously the racism thing didn't affect me, but there was a lot of cops and it was always freaking me out. Yeah. Get back to England. Oh, you don't see any.
So I'm gonna tell you the cops here, man. I went to like a long time with the, right here in Birmingham, Broad Street, right? Where the clubs or something, right? So I'm staying right there at the little hotel, you know? I'm seeing this guy drunk as hell, like screaming at the cop, fuck you, motherfucker. Taking off his shirt, drunk. I'm like, oh, this fool's gonna get laid out. You know, the Cali mentality, you act that tough, you're done. He's yelling to the cop. He's yelling to everybody. I'm like, nothing's happening. The cop is just like, go home, go home. I'm like, what the fuck? This guy, I'm like ready for to catch a moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's gonna get shot or he's gonna get whacked, you know? Nothing happened to this kid. This guy punked the cops. He made the cops leave and he just went on his own. I was like, what the fuck? So I was like, this can't be real. So I go to the gas station once. There's some cops there. They're walking. They got their sticks. There's like four of them. I'm walking behind them. So I'm just like, just trying to just walk with them. They don't even realize I'm behind them. And in California, if you even get close to a cop behind you, he hits the wall, puts his hands on the gun and looks at you like, what's up? Like basically it's showtime, you know? He could be at a restaurant and I walk in, the cops are at the restaurant. They're like, they'll touch their gun and look at me. And I look at them like, we just keep moving, you know? But he'll give me that nod like, don't try nothing, buddy. And I'm looking at him like, I'm watching you too. You know, we're giving that, you know, whatever. But over here, you're like walking behind a cop. I'm like, my head, my crazy thoughts is, I can get this cop right now, throw him in my car, and he doesn't even know nothing. He's smiling, walking. He doesn't know. I'm like, I'm already perceived to be myself as a gangster now because the cops treat you like one. So I'm like, I'm right behind this cop. He doesn't know what I can do to this guy. But that's the difference. They're ready for war. We're ready for them. It's like constant on your toes. Over here, the cops are like, man, they're like pedestrians, man.
I can imagine a British cop walking up to you and you thinking, right, it's on. And he'd be like, can I get your autograph, please, Mr. Capone?
That's what I'm saying. The cops are just, that's what I'm saying. If I did talk to a cop, I think someone said something nice, like, yeah, I'm like, this guy looking at me like, he doesn't even realize I'm from, you know, like, I'm like, wow, this guy, I'm not thinking sinister, but I'm thinking backwards as a kid. If I was in this place, I'd terrorize this place up. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, damn, you know? Like, it was crazy. But yeah.
So when I came back, it was like 17 years, reverse culture shock. Things I noticed is like the roads, the layout of the roads, the cars parked on the, like, it's like fucking got to drive around. What stuff contrasts to you? What stood out the most in England versus back home?
Yeah, maybe they're driving with something because you got driving the wrong, different side, right?
Wrong side.
Yeah, that, I just haven't even got to the driving part over here yet.
You haven't driven?
I just can't. I try once and I'm like, you know, the little roundabouts.
Yeah.
That shit like.
They freak me the fuck out, man. Like, where's my stop sign and my traffic light?
So yeah, the driving over here is kind of maniac a little bit. Feels like, because obviously I wasn't raised over here, and you know, you got these little cars moving around. Woo, 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 you know?
It's like Dodgem cars, isn't it?
Yeah, and we got big roads in Cali. And
oh man, I love the freeways out there.
I'm on the phone driving. That's the kind of vibe you have in Cali. You don't even pay attention to the road. You're moving, but you're doing other things. I'm on the phone. I'm texting. Obviously, you keep an eye on them a little bit, but it's so wide that you don't have to. You don't have to look at the front, you know what I'm saying?
Over here,
I'm like, I can't just drive and really drive, you know? Like, you're really driving, you know?
So, we've got, like, what, three lanes on our, we call them motorways.
Yeah.
How many lanes is there as you're coming towards California?
Somewhere four or five, right?
Yeah. Past Palm Springs and it all opens up.
Yeah, there's a lot of lanes, yeah.
Yeah, it's huge.
LA's considered a lot of traffic, but, I mean, still, they got a lot of lanes, you know?
Yeah. So, all right, then. I mean, you're so inspirational to all the young people. You've had this background. You could have been doing life very easily. Like you said, attempted murder, beef. How do you break out of that lifestyle?
Well, for me, I would say lucky for me. Like, because music came into my life. And being in the hood, we always loved music. We loved different shit. So when music came to me, that put my dedication. As much as I was involved in being in the streets and trying to be the craziest motherfucker, trying to be, you know, I did all that shit, involved in all the stuff the streets was. in the 90s. But as soon as music came, I go, let me do this same shit into the music. But then also now I'm a guy who can speak the real stories of the streets because I'm doing music. And then what I do personally that nobody else does, I bring out other people just like me who I've signed guys who did 15 years in prison, came out. I've signed guys who did 8 years in prison. I've signed guys who are active in the hood, who are in trouble every day, and I present opportunities to them. Here's music, man. Because, you know, everyone loves music at the end of the day. Some made it, some didn't. I mean, I know some of them got back, put back in jail. Some, they just had a drug habit maybe, and they couldn't really get into the music. And then some were successful. Some end up having not good relationships with them, me and them. Obviously, they had a different mentality. I had a different mentality. I've been there, done that. They probably got into the music maybe and never lived that life. And then they feel like now they're part of that life. And I'm still not, I'm not a punk. So at the end of the day, no one ever gets over me. Like any street cat that could be street crazy as they are, I'm a crazy motherfucker too when it comes to it. So we end up just clashing. They move on their way, I move on my way. I know the rules of the game. I don't talk shit. I don't have songs talking about F him, because I'm from the streets. I've seen people get indicted. I've seen people get locked up. Too much extra talking. You know what I'm saying? It's not the rule. So, hey, at the end of the day, I'm successful in doing music. I'm keeping to that. I'm bringing out the homies from the hood. You know, I'm a street cat. And I'm one of the few that's probably in the music game at this time that really lived the 90s. Lifestyle, you know what I'm saying? Because nowadays, there's new gangsters, new things, and these guys are wilding out, doing crazy shit. Like, but it's not like ours, where this was like a do or die. This was ruthless. This was just like people didn't. You grew up like your ambition was to make sure the next man is slammed out. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was that kind of mentality we had growing up. But nowadays, you know, it's there's internet. Everybody's showing off, like putting guns in the picture, and I'm crazy. You know, it's a different world, you know? But yeah. I'm still actively in music. I'm still fresh in it. I still rap the street slangs. I still do the street stuff. And me, I'm encouraged to even be in the UK now and to do music with the street guys in the UK. Because yeah. They got their street wars going on. Their knife crimes, they're stabbing up people. Same stuff over here, so...
Drilling, they call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, drilling. You know, this guy's gonna drill you. You know, like well, the driller is my little driller. You know, I hear these slangs out here. You know, and to me, it pumps me up because this is the culture I like from California. But we're doing music, so hey, let's get this in music. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you personally go and drill someone on your own, that's between you and your shit. But we know what that life's about, and we just want to keep continuing. Dropping the real music, you know what I'm saying?
So when you hear like a London rapper, for example, and this, you know, rapping in this Cockney accent, but they're talking about the feds, yeah. And they're talking about drilling, how does that make, what does it make you feel like? This is like...
I respect every gangster,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I know we're from a place that I would call the most gangster of all, but I respect everyone's gangster.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody got their stories. UK's got their stories. When I used to go, I was the type of kid that when I would go to New York, when I was in trouble, same shit, I'd go to New York and I would go find the gangsters there and I would start shit with them just because I'm from LA. You know, like that was the kind of mentality. We in California have a lot of pride. So we're like, LA, LA. You got people with LA tats on them, you know? I don't know how many people have London tats on them, you know? But we got people that just represent LA, LA. You listen to our songs, To Live and Die in LA, Tupac, LA, California Love. It's just everything to do, we rep so hard because it's embedded us. Like, we're like soldiers to rep for our area. So when I go to these other areas, I'm LA this, LA this. But then, obviously, I like to connect with the real ones in the cities they're from and do music because some of them gotta be real. Some gotta go through the same struggle and the same pain that we came through. You know what I'm saying? Might be different style, but it's you know, they got their struggles, you know?
So when I was in America, there was a lot of this East Coast, West Coast rap beef going on.
Yeah.
Does that continue to this day or is that died down?
That was the 90s, I guess. That was the kid days when Pac was representing the West Coast, Biggie was East Coast, and L.A. started that shit. We like, fuck, we just start saying, fuck New York. You know what I'm saying? Pac said it, we all said it, so everybody in L.A. was really about it. Now, I don't think New York was mentally into that kind of atmosphere of fuck L.A., even though there's always some guys like, you know, said that too, probably. But we were so embedded in that West Coast lifestyle that you got a bunch of gangsters who are now like united on a different front. They're like, fuck New York. So when Biggie Smalls came, something happened, whether, I don't know how or what happened, but Tupac ended up the story, a Crip ended up. So it's just that LA culture that got both of them, you know what I'm saying? And it's that LA culture, the West Coast, East Coast beef that we all were pumped up like, it was a bad time for people from the East. If they came to LA and like, I'm from the East Coast. I mean, I was a kid at that time, and this guy's saying I'm from the East Coast. I might have tried to hit him with side of the head with a bat, right? Because just because he said I'm from the East Coast, even though it has nothing to do with me, but we were so in love with our area that we were all ready to ride for it. I had 100 soldiers ready to go off anyone, someone from New York's here in our town saying he's from New York. Acting up, everyone, let's go. Wow. That's our mentality, which was, I don't know, maybe it's crazy, but this is the lifestyle that we were raised in Southern Cali, man.
Early, you mentioned you signed someone up who was doing a 50-year stretch. So I worked with the Kersler Trust, and we helped prisoners rehabilitate through art, writing, poetry, rap, everything. How much wasted talent is there in prison?
There's a lot of talent in prison. So much. In fact, I'm going to name a guy that I haven't met up yet, but he's in L.A. He's been writing to me in prison since 2001. I had homies that he was locked up with, and he used to write me his letters and say, look, this is what I got locked up for. Woo, woo. One day I'm out. I'm going to rap, right? Now he got out just recently, 6 months ago, and he sent me a message. I'm out now, and I think he's doing rapping. Obviously, I'm in a different space of time that it's hard for me to, I got so many people that I'm helping out, but I recognized him as writing to me like every year from prison that I rap, I do music when I get out. And I've kind of like forgot about this guy until he got out and he reminded me. I was like, dang, that's the same guy that used to write to my letters, you know, I was like, and you know, I wouldn't read some of the letters, you know, so to be honest, but I'm like, he's inside, so I gotta give him some kind of recognition. And I would read it, and he was like, yeah, I was locked up with your homie this, your friend this as kids. I'm his bunkie, so I started respecting his letters a little more. And I was like, damn, when this kid gets out, he's gonna be a force, at least something he's gonna try in the music game, because he really had ambition. So on that note, there's 100 people out there inside that were like that. And he's one of the guys, so yeah, shouts out to that guy right there that, he just barely got out doing 20 years, or I don't know how long he did, but he's been riding me when I first start rapping. So I'm like, damn, you know?
The sad thing is there's all this talent inside and they don't give them anything to develop that. It's just drug and gang infested mayhem. Is that the same in California?
Yeah, basically, I mean, inside jail, you're not thinking about rap. You start thinking about the lifestyles inside there now. You're caught up in the system in there. So you gotta watch your back. Being a rapper in jail also could be not a positive thing either, because you got other gangsters who can't rap and they might be jealous of that. So like me, like I would think to myself, if I was in jail, would I even tell people, hey, I'm a rapper? I'd be like, nah, I ain't a rapper. I would come with that, even though I'm so well known now, like I can't even say that. But if I was in jail, my mind, you know, when I sit back and think, I wouldn't wanna be saying I'm a rapper, because I would know how I was if I wasn't a rapper. I'd be like, who the fuck this fool think he is? You know, he thinks he's a big star. We're gonna show him how to, you know? So I'm just a regular homie, you know what I'm saying? But I don't think there's probably a lot of talent there, but they're not gonna expose their talent because someone's not gonna like that. And then they're not gonna have a comfortable time dealing with a lot of people all the time. It's a lot of jealousy, envy on the streets and inside also, you know what I'm saying? So when you're in there, you're just another number, you know?
Yeah.
That's it.
So if someone went in there showing off who was claiming to be a rapper and had money and stuff like that, probably they would get extorted, would they?
They could, yeah. I mean, it just depends the kind of guy he is. Like, if someone's just one of those flamboyant guys, that could possibly happen. I mean, I was raised on the streets. I never was a flamboyant kind of guy. So I already know, you know what I'm saying? I'm just here collecting, doing, helping out homies. But the, in the rap game, brings a lot of flamboyancy, a lot of people who show off every day, like, I'm this and that, I'm the baddest, I'm woo-woo, you know? You go inside, all that badness is over, you know what I'm saying? You just normal now. And if you feel like you above somebody, someone will bring you down, you know what I'm saying?
Hypothetically speaking, then, what would happen if someone like Tekashi landed in L.A. County Jail?
Oh, Tekashi, man, he comes out feathers, man. I don't know. I don't know how Tekashi would last in L.A. County Jail, man. Tekashi, man, he couldn't even last on the streets in Hollywood, you know what I'm saying? He's in these rich areas, and they're catching him in the hotel room,
really?
You know? Like, he went to, like, Hollywood, that people would break into the hotel rooms in Hollywood. Where's Tekashi at? So if they're doing this to him on the streets of L.A., oh, man, jail. He got nothing. He got no friends.
What was he claiming? Bloods, Treyway?
So I encountered, before he ended up having a snitch jacket, he dissed LA and it got so personal that I kind of took it offensive. So I flew to New York, right? I had a little business, but I was like, while I'm out here, I'm going to look out for this Tekashi fool. And I'm going to, like, I'm on the gangster shit, but I was like, he's dissing LA. So if I see this fool, fuck this fool. You know, I'm going to have to swing on him, do whatever, you know, whatever, even though I know he might have security, whatever it is, but I'm going to do justice of my feeling if he's just in L.A. So I find out he's at a club. I'm at a club, you know, pull up. There's a little video footage of it out there. He had all his henchmen there, whatever. I had a couple riders with me, you know, so like, hey, we're going to rumble. That is what it is. But we're going to fucking let him know L.A.'s in New York. So I pulled up on him. Obviously, he's a blood, so any issue he has, from what I know on the streets, it's a blood issue. It's nothing to do with us, because we're homies. He's not a homie. So him being wrong or bad, they got to take care of their own people. But my question to him was, I need to talk to this fool. And they're like, security. Like, nah. I'm like, nah, I'm from LA. I need to talk to this fool. So I pulled up in him. I go, what's up? You got a problem with L.A.? You know, let me know. I'm right here. Nah, man, it's all love. And, you know, he pulled out his hand. It's all love. Then I seen the shoddy guy who's, I guess, locked up. Because I paid attention. To me, he's the gangster. I got to watch out for this guy. I'm not even watching out for Tekashi. So he grabs 6ix9ine like this. So I'm already thinking, so he sees me. If I take flight, he's going to throw him on the ground. Then, you know, it's going to turn into something else, right? So he's holding him by the waist while I'm talking to him. Tekashi's like, nah. Then I go, all right, man, whatever you have, this is L.A. I'm just letting you know. And if you got some issue, your own people, your blood, handle your shit. Even though I'm not in the gangbang politics no more, but it's just in you to, like, he disrespected L.A. and I'm in New York. Tekashi's in the same club as me. I have to go to him, you know? Like, I can't just walk out this door like Tekashi's in the shit. I don't want to say nothing. Or, hey, I want to take a picture. Fuck all that. You know, I'm going straight to him. I felt like I'm put on blast and I had nothing. Like, if I don't do this, I feel pussy inside, right? Because I'm seeing Tekashi in this building. Even as New York, there's 50 guys around him. It's his backyard. I'm going to go up and I'm going to let him know this is LA. And I did. I went up. He didn't come back with a smart remark. He could have. It could have gone ugly. And I was ready for that. I was ready for the worst things to happen. But I was like, I'm going to make sure, even if the worst shit happened, I got one lick on Tekashi. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. That was my thinking, you know? But it worked out where he's like, nah, I got no problem with L.A. He said it in my face. I seen him say it in my face. I was like, all right, that's your blood issue. That's cool. All right, boom, walked out. I was like, hey, I did what I had to do. I left it off my chest. And that's the wrong mentality you got to have sometimes, but that's the mentality we grew up with. And you see an enemy or somebody, I mean, I can't say he's an enemy, but he dissed the West Coast at one time and everybody was on him. I was there, so I had to let it be known.
So if 9 Trey Bloods is of Rikers, a prison gang, and Tekashi's rolled on these guys, how is he still alive?
Well, that's some New York stuff again. So before, when this happened, this was before all that snitching happened. And then now, I mean, I would think like this. Look, he's got a lot of money going on. He's got pride. I'm hearing that his first house he went to, he had the whole security, like cops everywhere. He snitched himself out. He went to the balcony. Some kid took a picture of him in the balcony. Next, you know, everyone's going to that house. So, whoop, he moved out of there. So, I mean, I can't blame those guys either because the price, probably a lot of fucking, you know, shit going on. That's none of my business. I'm not really, that's not my problem. And thanks God it ain't my problem. That's their problem. And, I mean, who knows? I mean, Tekashi, time is the essence, right? I mean, if they really hate him, they might get him, whatever. But at the end of the day, I mean, I don't even know. I don't pay attention to the court cases. I just look at it like, man, it's a lot of clownery shit.
Can he no longer do public appearances then, or gig, because someone take a pot shot at him?
I don't think he can. I mean, really? I mean, I think you can and you can't in the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? President, a lot of people don't like the President Trump, right? A lot of people don't like every president. They go out there. There's probably people that don't like him, but if they got enough services surrounding you, hey, man, you might not be touched, but what kind of life is that for this guy now? You know what I'm saying?
Do you think that all this controversy has actually enhanced his career and sales and raised his profile, even though it's negative?
Nah, I think he kind of fell off, honestly. I think he had that hype when it was first going on, but it can't last forever. And I was thinking, damn, this guy's actually lasting. He is somewhat staying alive and still doing it, but his expenditures of being who he is now is catching up to him, and he's gonna get the views, he's gonna get the streams, because it's a stream world now. People, everything's about views. So he'll get that, but at the end of the day, how long are you gonna get that for? You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to have, he's with a record label, they're putting money marketing behind them, they gotta do whatever they gotta do. It's just a tough sell, because you gotta go out there and do shows, you gotta do features with people, you gotta really mingle and do stuff. You gotta shoot a video somewhere. I mean, you're gonna hide all your life. It's gonna be tough. So he can play that game for a while, but how long are you gonna hide for? You know, you're like living to hide. That shit could be, that's a fucked up life for him, man.
And for his family, because the old school Italian mafia, don't harm women or kids, that's off the table now, isn't it? So he's put his whole family.
Yeah, but everything's just, you know, when you're living in that life, who knows? I mean, you already talked your shit. You already did your shit. Anyone's possible, you know? You got to watch everybody. So, I mean, I got nothing to say about that guy. Just at the end of the day, he's in a fucked up position. And he put himself in there because he doesn't know this life is kind of real, you know? And you get into that life, and you talk tough and act crazy, you're going to have to deal with it now, you know?
So I could see, like, he used them for street cred. And you think they just used him for some money and stuff?
That's what possibly could have been. I mean, it possibly could have been he's a star. They got money to invest in him. Maybe, you know? Maybe that was the case. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe he actually, we can say that he wasn't a real gangster, but maybe he thought he was a gangster. Maybe he said, I am one. Maybe he wanted.
We call that gangsteritis.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
So,
so now he's got to deal with it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Screwed up, you know?
Yeah. All right, so it's hugely inspirational that music kind of like saved you, would you say? Yeah. What was those first tunes that just like really resonated?
The tunes of for me?
Yeah.
I just did, you know, my first songs were like, What's My Name? I talked about myself. I did one song called Southside Thing. I talked about the whole Southern California, you know, like it's our turn to shine. They did the G Thing remix with Snoop and Dre. Yeah. So I flipped it, did it Southside Thing, meaning this is for us. Now, they forgot about, they talk about the Bloods and the Crips in L.A., but reality essays are the biggest in L.A. And so I kind of put that as a forefront, like, we're here also. And that was one of my first songs that I did. I put a lot of homies on my back. I represent our estilo, our community, and I went from there, and then I just kept going with that, and then I mixed different songs. I kept going. I just didn't stop, you know, I just kept going. But it originally started from representing our Southern California. Like, I was like, yo, you heard about the Crips, you heard about the Bloods, but what about the essays? What about the homies out here? And when I did that, everyone revolved with it. That probably made me who I am today, because everyone's like, that's the real one right there. He's doing it for us. And then, hey, that got me in the music career, you know? started music.
Looking at your music then, it's like you've got this raw, aggressive style in contrast with what you described as a style that the women like these songs more. Yeah. Which style do you prefer doing?
I prefer the street stuff, but my money is the ladies. So I can't stop the ladies, man. The ladies, they be loving me. They made me. So I do those love songs, and to this day, I get girls, you know, I've seen girls faint in my back in the days, like in love, you know? So the ladies have really came and represent the hardest. Guys, there's some of the real ones in there, but then 80% is just females, you know? They're just like, so I prefer rapping about shit that I grew up, like having this interview talking about shit like that, but people don't want to hear that really from me, because it's the ladies who are like, hey, we want to know about this, what's up? So I'm like, hey, let me give it right back at you, you know?
So you're getting a lot of DMs. Oh, in the old days, like in England, Beatles, the women used to throw their knickers at the star.
That happened too.
Yeah. See, I keep my sunglasses on, but then something just hits me and it feels very light, and I look on the ground, you know? But I'm not touching, I'm just like, keep going. I was like, you know, I don't want to get them too crazy now, you know? But yeah, I know the feeling, you know?
Which artists have influenced you the most?
Influence. I mean, I grew up on the NWA, you know, all that Eazy-E, Tupac stuff. So I guess that what influenced me. But doing music-wise on my own, I created my own little lane. A little bit mixed of that with a lot of love jams, with a lot of oldie. I did a lot of oldie remixes with a lot of old schools in the hood. Everybody loved oldies. It was popular. It's a jail thing, too. Like, everyone, dedications to the oldies. Probably people listen to all these oldies, guys walking down the theater singing an oldie, you know? Like, it was a thing. So I mixed the oldies with, when I wasn't old at that time, but I mixed that vibe with my vibe, so it became very popular.
I was rocking to that one in my car today.
Yeah. I had Angel Baby with the Rosie and the Original. I did a song with Brandon Wood, Take a Chance on Me. So I've done some legends in the oldie game. I've done songs with them. So that was another major step for me in my music that people really appreciated.
Who did you enjoy doing collaborations with the most?
Kevin Gates, I just did recently with him. And to me, he's a real one. He just got out of jail too. He did 2 years, a year or something. And his situation was very weird because, I don't know if you've seen it, like something about a fan and he kicked his leg out and they gave him 2 years just for that. Someone was reaching onto him and whatever. So he's been really in the hood. He really, his mentality is on that level. So when he got out of jail, somehow me and him connected and he goes, I feel your energy, you're a real one. And we just naturally did music, not on no business, not like, hey, you give me money, let's do some music on this. There was no business. It was like, me and you have to do a song together. Let's do it, and we did it. It was all love, so shouts out Kevin Gates. I would say he was the most best energy music I had, you know?
Who's out there that you would like to collab with that you haven't yet?
I've collabed with a lot of people, man. Fuck. We don't know. We're gonna try to make some collaborations in the UK, so let it be known. Top dogs of UK, get at me. The real's in your town. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I mean, some UK artists, well, I'm looking through, you know?
Yeah. So you mentioned then that this music took you out of this lifestyle. How do you maintain that discipline and not fall back into the lifestyle?
That's a good question, because I was just with somebody who fought 2 murder cases and he won them both, and he's in the music game. His name is Young Dopey. He's from, shots out him, he just got out again. And he told me the same thing. He goes, man, Capone, like, cause I was like, you know, this guy's doing, he's doing real good right now. And I was like, maybe we should do a song. We talk, he goes, man, you really there, but then you know how to dance in the water and not get wet. And I was like, when he said that to me, I kind of thought about it like, yeah, you know what, staying disciplined is a very tough job itself. It's very hard because you gotta stay disciplined, and it's like, you can't really have fun. Cause fun is when you're undisciplined, right? So it's like, sometimes you're partying, drinking a lot, you might just get undisciplined. You know what I'm saying? So I've been through those times that, you know, we're having a good time. Next thing I'm socking up somebody, I'm thinking, damn, this guy could try to sue me, you know, tomorrow. You know, so it's like, and I've been through there. I've been people who try to sue me over just stupid fights, you know? Like, next you know, I'm my lawyer. What the fuck? And I thought you were a grown-ass man, and you calling about lawyers? So it's a different position when you're an artist now. You got to, everyone's scheming on you now, you know? So I just kind of like, you know, keep myself disciplined, you know?
So I come from the rave scene, and I started taking ecstasy because I had anxiety as a young person, and that made me into a party animal. So I had to learn how to have fun without being on drugs. Are you able to maintain that discipline?
Yeah, kind of and kind of not. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it depends. Like, I'm like type of, like, we're in a house, we got a bunch of females, got a bunch of people, then I'm gonna get loose. But if it's just me and my boys, I'm cool on the drugs right now. You know what I mean? Like, we're not gonna get nowhere but just go try to steal a car or something. They're gonna do something dumb. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm with you guys, and remember back, and we're gonna hype each other out, and we're gonna start wrestling each other, start getting down. Then we're gonna go outside, take it out on somebody else, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, if there's a bunch of dudes in the house, I'm not really trying to get, but if there's a bunch of girls and we gotta, you know, then, you know, the energy could be in a positive direction, you know?
Do you have a fitness discipline? You look
strong. No, I just been doing a little cardio, but nothing crazy. Nothing. I need to get on it, but nothing crazy.
Not checking out any of the UK gyms.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen. I heard everything's locked down. Already. Oh, yeah. They're saying there's fines here, and you get a fine hanging out.
£200, but yeah. Video recording is okay.
I said, hey, the cops over here, I'm not worried about them. I'm so smart. If they come over to me, I know how to play these guys.
They ain't gonna do nothing. So in one of your videos, you give a shout out to three homies who are still in prison. Why are they so special to you? Can you say a bit about what their stories are?
It's in one of my songs. Which one?
I was watching it today. Like photos of them on the video.
Okay. I have a song called Homies, right? Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, just in general, people I grew up with, I lost a lot of homies to being incarcerated. I lost a lot of friends who their life ended up being in jail. So it's just, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like I can't forget about these guys because we grew up as kids. I might be in a different place, but I understand I could have been in their place too. So I always give a shout out to the homies, even though I'm past a lot of that, but I'm still intrigued to the streets because that's my heart. That's who I was. If it wasn't for this music, I might have been the bad guy, right? Doing shit wrong, whatever. But this music saved me, but I always will respect and not forget because every time I seem like when I do forget, it takes me out of reality. I need to be, because my lifestyle will always be stuck in that lifestyle some way. You know what I'm saying? So if I get comfortable, I feel like if I get comfortable, I'm going to slip. You're going to be slipping. So I need to be always, I'm still like, most wanted, or I'm on the streets, enemies could be here, cops could mess with me, so I stay on my tippy toes all the time. You know what I'm saying?
It's just, what's your plans going forward then in music and in your life in general?
I just keep doing music for right now because that's the only thing that keeps my that's my drug, I guess. That's my drug to keep me not looking at other things to do. And as long as the music's going on, I'm good. Now, eventually, I feel I need to get out of music and just enjoy life, but what's enjoying life if it ain't crazy, right? Like, my life is crazy. I seen crazy shit. I can't be a normal guy. I can't be the guy sitting at the house, you know, just watching TV. I need some entertainment.
You don't watch Narcos?
I do watch it. Yeah, I watch it, but I still can't even watch it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Meaning, like, I can't sit there. I'm not that kind of guy that can sit there. I'm like, I need to go out. I need to see what's going on. My aggression will be in music. So I'll go and do music, and I feel like I left it off my chest. Even if I don't bring the song out, I have to do music to keep me relevant to, I guess, not turn me into a beast, I guess. I don't know.
And what do you say to young people watching who may have gangsteritis?
Oh, man, you know what? It's for the little homies out there, that shit ain't gonna get you nowhere, really, at the end of the day, man. Tell you straight up, I've been there, done that, and I mean, it's fun in games, I guess, to feel macho, but see, my times is different. My times, you had to be it. Like, and I couldn't be mad at anyone in my times, but it's 2020, there's digital, there's internet, you can hear stories, homies podcasts. There's a lot of podcasts. There's so much shit you can do. We didn't have these opportunities in our time. In our times, the opportunity was to get famous, was to put a knot on someone's head. That's how we became famous. We became famous off fucking somebody up, right? Now you're so much ways to become famous, you know? You don't need to be doing dumb shit no more, you know? We didn't have those opportunities. You know? Nobody was a star. You're either a super celebrity or you're a hood star. Now there's a bunch of stars, these fucking TikTok stars, you know? There's all kinds of characters, you know? So, I mean, just find a place that you love, enjoy yourself, get that fame, get the money, get the women. That's all you need, right? Get the drugs if you want. But don't sell them, I guess. You know, sell a little if you need, you know? I don't know, man. Just enjoy life. That's all it's about, right?
So at the end of the podcast, James, my cameraman, often has a question for the guest. Do you have anything to hit today, James? Or does anyone else in the room have a question for Mr. Capone?
Are you named after Al Capone? Have you taken your name from there?
Yep.
What's the interest with him?
So my homies call me Capone. They gave me that nickname because I was always that gangster, they felt like, you know? I was that guy. I was young. You think about it like, man, I'm young, but at that time I thought I was already a man. So I was like, hey, we got to do, like, I was always like the gangster, like, let's do it like this. So like, man, you're Capone. So they just call me Capone. And then I really didn't even know the history of Capone until after I got that name. I was like, what's this gangster guy? And I started studying a little bit, like, damn, okay, somebody seen some kind of similarities. So that was it. I got my name, you know?
Huge thank you to Reese for organizing this interview. We're going to put his links in the description box. Do you have any questions, Reese?
Definitely. I mean, as a kid, Death Row was something that we always looked up to and we liked it. I was like, man, I want to be on Death Row. I talked to Suge Knight. I was supposed to be on Death Row, right? Obviously, you know, it didn't work out. But yeah, I mean, show me his links and maybe bring Death Row back with high power, Mr. Capone, you know? Hey. Well, yeah.
You got anything, Manny?
How long have you been in
UK for? I'm here just for a week. I'm out here doing a little music. So I got something with this guy Frenzo that I was talking to you about. So we're going to hit the studio. So that's going to be my first collaboration with a UK artist. He's got his own lane. I'm going to bring that in. I'm going to throw my stuff into it, mixed in with the UK stuff. So it's going to be a very interesting album.
Is there many UK projects in the making?
I've been talking to a lot of guys, but Frenzo to me attracted me on his music because he comes with that, he has the different, the Punjabi pimp flow. He's on the pimping shit, you know? Like, so you got to get him interviewed because this guy's king pimping, you know, right now. But I kind of like his music. So in America, when we hear UK music, sometimes it doesn't really stick, you know? I don't know, maybe because I don't know what it is. But when I heard Frenzo, I was like, this guy's pretty hard. I go, I'm going to work with this guy. So me and Frenzo got an album in the UK coming. I'm going to be G'd up in a video representing, like, in my lyrics. I'm like, I'm an essay in London. Like, I'm going to say these things.
Next telephone box.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to bring something new and bring it to the UK. So, and he's going to bring something to America because nobody heard somebody like him either. So we're kind of collaborating. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's building bridges. You know, not London Bridge, but we're building bridges, you know?
Anyone else got anything? Any more, James? All right, huge thank you, Mr. Capone, coming on. And please let us know in the comments below this video what you thought about it. Huge thank you to all the new subscribers. Subscription logo is in the bottom right-hand corner. Huge thank you to people who've gone down in the description box and checked out all of his links, his Instagram, his YouTube. Please go over and support and share his videos and follow what he's doing. He's been so gracious coming in here today, giving us his time. I looked at all of his other interviews and he's really opened up, you know, about the crime side and everything today. So really appreciate him coming in. So show your love, go down, click on his links and help him expand his empire in the UK.
All my UK fools, what's happening? Hazar Pashtun right here. Oof.
Give us a hug, man. Yeah, cheers.
Well done, brilliant.
Thanks very much.
Right.
Yeah, brilliant.
You already know you've been in the...
Arizona, it's that, and then...
Oh, yeah. That's right.